This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Most of us know about African Americans who fought for civil rights, but Black folks weren't the only ones on the front lines of the fight for racial justice. White activists including Andrew Goodman, Michael Henry Schwerner, and Viola Liuzzo, who happened to be a mother of five, all were brutally killed. Other people joined the cause and survived. One of them was Charney Bromberg. In the mid-60s, he left New York to help Blacks across Mississippi. For 3 years, he worked for the Congress of Racial Equality. Today, Charney is the executive director of the nonprofit Meoritz USA for Israeli Civil Rights and Peace. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
So what inspired you to move to Mississippi?
I had friends who had worked in Mississippi. I had been working on voter registration. During the summer of 64, one of my friends brought several people from Canton, Mississippi, up to our home community, and I got to know them, and I was hooked. And as soon as the 64 presidential election was over, I headed down to Canton, Mississippi.
So when you got to Canton and you met people who you actually wanted to help, Southern African Americans, how did they react to you?
Well, first and foremost, they were warm and outgoing, and they had already had considerable experience with people from the North and other parts coming into the community. The need was great. The purpose was to expose the rest of America to what Mississippi was all about through the experience of people coming from the North and elsewhere, and it worked.
So what did you do on a day-to-day basis?
Mostly traveling out to rural parts of the community, asking people to vote to register to vote, to participate in various programs, to deal with the business of building organization, to assure folks that we were there, to mainly expose ourselves as much as possible to as many people as possible.
Now, you've said that Jewish activists did not go because they were Jewish, but, and I'm quoting you here, they understood the Exodus and the meaning of fighting for freedom. What did you mean by that?
Well, I think first and foremost, Jews celebrate Passover every year and remember that we were brought out of Egypt. It's meant to be a very personal realization of the experience of slavery. Secondly, most American Jews are descendants of individuals who came from the former Soviet Union, Russia, and there they lived as fourth-class citizens. They lived in circumstances not unlike those experienced by African Americans in the Deep South. And thirdly, most of the American Jewish community, our grandparents, were social activists, social democrats, believing in joint action and coming together to improve conditions. So all of these things were carried with the chicken soup that our grandmothers set before us. For some, it was a matter of faith, but for the great majority, I would say that it had more to do with the secularization of these religious and historical experiences.
So you took your experiences, your values, your faith, your personal history, went down to Mississippi. When were you most afraid for your life?
I think every minute I was there, but there were clearly incidents that occurred. I was arrested six times. The officers were not pleasant about it. There were threats on my life, and those were to be taken seriously, as they were much more so for the people with whom we lived.
What kind of threats?
Homes were burned. People were shot. Some people were killed. Jobs were lost. This was the everyday life for people, the African-American community, the people among whom we worked. And our presence there angered the white community, and those kinds of threats were passed on to us.
Were any passed on to you specifically?
Oh, sure. I remember integrating the public park in Canton, and a white man coming over to me and said, "Boy, I'd like to buy you a Coke. I'd like to buy you a Coke and kill you." Years later, I was working in Scott County, Mississippi, a neighboring county, and there were cross burnings, shootings, a lot of violence in the area where I was working because the parents there had chosen to send their kids to the previously all-white schools. And I called the FBI, which I had no trust or faith in because they did not describe themselves as a law enforcement agency. And they said, "Oh, you better come in right away." And when I arrived in Jackson, I was met in the hall by an agent from Boston who told me that there was a contract out on my life and began to recount for me certain incidences that had occurred very recently that they would have known only if there was a mole or a plant within the Klan group in that area. And so we knew that there were people who, given the chance, would do violence to us.
Now, Mr. Bromberg, a lot of people have said that relations between the black community and the Jewish community have deteriorated since the civil rights movement. Do you think so? And whatever you think, do you think that your actions were worth it?
Well, I'll answer the first part enthusiastically. Yes, I think that this is a different country in many, many different ways. It's far from perfect. Many of the goals are still far from being realized, but there's no question that the Deep South is much more a part of the United States than it was in the 1960s and before then. To speak of an alliance between communities is perhaps a little much. It's very complicated, but there was a coming together in time and place in which the memories and the experience of the Jewish community and the overall concerns about what America should be fell closely into line with the goals of the civil rights movement, and that was a coming together. There were a lot of factors that changed all this. Israel became a factor because many African Americans, particularly the young people of SNCC, felt that Israel was part of the colonialist regime that they were trying to fight. This was the period in which African countries were finally overcoming colonialism and becoming independent. There were a number of factors that caused friction, not harmony, and I think that caused a lot of individuals to take lessons out of this that they might not have in other situations. But yes, there was a parting. The circumstances of the two communities changed considerably. But Jews still celebrate Passover every year. The basic value system is still intact.
Well, Mr. Bromberg, we're going to have to end it there. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Charney Bromberg is the executive director of the nonprofit Meoritz USA for Israeli Civil Rights and Peace.